So I heard that psalm, Psalm 121, and as Leslie read that through to us, just what beautiful words they are. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Psalm 121, God, our help in the journey. You know, a journey is the act of travelling from one place to another. We've all taken a journey this morning to get here. Some of us have journeyed further than others. The men's choir have taken a journey to go to Hawker, and they'll take another to come back. Life is really a journey. We're born. We journey through the years to our final destination, our final place of rest. You could say that the journey is the dash in our lives, the dash between our birth year and our year of death, and we're all in that dash. Now, this psalm was written for a journey. It's a psalm of ascent. It's a song sung when travelling to Jerusalem. The Israelites took an annual trip to their capital city, Jerusalem, specifically to go to a large temple that was in that city. To get there, they couldn't exactly hop on a plane. So the journey took several days, most of it on foot. And it was a difficult and challenging journey. There was danger along the way, like robbers and bandits ready to take advantage of the pilgrims. So the Israelites would have had fears. So they sang songs, specifically Psalms 120 to 134, known as the Pilgrim Psalms. And they would sing them to encourage each other. And when they were finally in sight of Jerusalem and Mount Zion, there would have been such a relief that they'd made it and they were safe. Once again, understand the context of the scriptures brings this psalm alive to us. As we imagine the Israelites on this pilgrimage and the hard journey as the backdrop of this psalm, we can imagine them singing this as they're journeying together. I lift up my eyes to the mountains or the hills. Where does my help come from? It's a strange question to ask when you look at a mountain. You know, from our family room, we can see Mount Lofty. Perhaps more hills than mountains. When I look at them, I'm not thinking, where does my help come from? I'm more likely to be thinking, what are those three towers and what do they mean to me? It's more like I look to the hills, where does my TV signal come from? Or if we see an amazing mountain, perhaps in the Victorian Highlands or in Tasmania or Switzerland or New Zealand, or one of my favourites, Mount Rainier in Washington State. My brother lived in Seattle for 3 years, almost 20 years ago. And when we stayed with them, we could see this mountain from their place. And it spoke of stability and majesty and might every day. When we see a mountain like this today, we're more likely to be thinking, if I climb this, or if I climb part of this, will I have reception so I can put it up on Instagram? Or maybe you're not thinking that. Or if I climb this, will I be safe? If I have a fall, can I be rescued? But the ancient people in the Middle East looked at a mountain and thought of very different things. They appreciated how high it was and therefore how close to the sky and in the sky were the gods. And they would think, we can connect with the gods on the mountain. Now the Israelites worshipped Yahweh, the Lord. But the surrounding nations had different gods, and they would build temples on the mountains close to their God in the high places. So when Israel looks at the mountain or the hills and asks the question, where does my help come from? They answer with, my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. They're saying that our God is not just the God of the mountain, but the God who made the mountain, made the world, valleys, rivers, God who is the creator of everything. This is a great encouragement to us. Our God is a God we can trust. God is everywhere. There is nowhere we can go where God is not. And there is no fear that is too great for God. And in verse 5 we read, the Lord watches over you. Or in a different version, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. God is the shade at your right hand. That is how close God is. There is nowhere where God isn't. You can go nowhere there is not God. God is everywhere we go. There isn't a special place to find God because our God is everywhere. God is the shade at your right hand. And that means at work and at school and at hospital and at McDonald's and at Meals on Wheels. Wherever we are, anywhere that you go, God is there. If you travel, God is there, right beside you. And there's more. In this psalm, we read that God never sleeps. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God never sleeps. As humans, we can't always be awake. We can't protect everything all the time. At some time, we need to sleep. Our God can be everywhere, protects us at all times, is everywhere, sees everything, and always available as God doesn't sleep. You know, some of us rely a lot on our phones until we're out of reception. And then we can't. You know, our insurance will save us until we forget to pay or it's not allowed in the fine print. Our friends or family will rescue us until they're not around. They're not right there with us. But our help comes from the Lord who is always watching and always awake. Now, other gods at that time would sleep during winter or at other set times of the year. And there's the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 18. He challenged the priests of Baal, and they all gathered together to see which god would answer by sending fire to consume the offerings. And when the priests of Baal called out, nothing happened. And Elijah taunted them by saying of Baal, either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. Our help comes from the Lord who is always awake, who doesn't sleep. We understand how the sun can hurt us. It can burn us. But what about the moon? What can the moon do? You know, when this was written, some believed that the moon caused people to go insane, and hence the term lunacy. Some believed the sun was a god and the moon was a god. They needed protection from the gods in the sky. But this psalm is saying the sun and moon are not gods. And the psalm goes on, for it's for a journey of coming and going. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't go through tough stuff. It doesn't mean that we sail through life. What it does mean is that God is with us throughout all the experiences that we have in life. And God is caring for us. No bad thing that happens to you is bigger than God. Whatever bad things happen, we have God who is bigger. We're making a journey in life. It's not always easy. And there are many fears and uncertainties and challenges that are on the way. This journey is headed to a new destination. You could call it a new Jerusalem, as it's called in the Bible. A new creation, the end in view for all creation, as it's described in the Uniting Church's basis of union. The psalm doesn't ignore the hard questions in life. It responds to them, responds by those on the way together, including fear. There's a lot of fear in our world. And fear looks different at different times. You know, this week, fear looks like this. Empty shelves of toilet paper. This photo was taken at the Woolworths up the road, the Hilton, on Wednesday. You know, we may shake our heads, but it's a symptom of fear. Sometimes fear is centered on the unknown. And when the object of fear is ill-defined and keeps changing shape, our fear grows. The lessening of fear usually occurs with the coming of understanding, with a clearer view of what we're dealing with. When you don't quite know what you're dealing with, what you're scared of, when there seems no definite boundaries to our fear, it expands to occupy all the space of our imaginings. Uncontained fear becomes terror, where we hand over control to the shadow of the thing that we actually dread. And there seems to have been some definite signs of such behaviour this week in our Australian supermarkets. As a nation, we have congratulated ourselves on the many ways that we've all chipped in and helped each other with support following the bushfires. We've had benefit concerts and generous donations and heaps of community spirit that have helped those facing the challenge of rebuilding their lives. But this week, a middle-aged man doing his weekly shopping in Sydney reached across to pick up one packet of toilet paper and was rudely pushed away by an elderly grandmother who took all the toilet paper that was left, glared at him, and had headed for the cash register. And that story has been repeated over and over again. That is fear. We're seeing fear. So fear pushes us into a mode of self-preservation, whereas understanding invites us to relate to each other as a community of love. This is clearly a time to contain anxiety about the unknown and to be well informed, to care for one another, to ask if we're doing okay. Never give over your life to fear. It dehumanizes us. Robs us of our freedom, isolates us from others. And we've seen this already with the coronavirus, where people have been looking out for themselves. Whereas the authorities are saying the best way to deal with the coronavirus, in addition to good health measures, is to band together like we have in the past. And that includes buy what you need. Share what you have. Check with neighbours who can't get out often or don't have the financial resources to keep them going. Check with people in our communities who are living in fear. Talk to children who don't understand when every time they turn on the TV, it's all about this virus. And their fear is growing. Let's be a community in the face of a crisis. You know, the Christians from Wuhan in China have been handing out masks and other protective gear that their church has received from donations across the world. And together with the masks, they've slipped in leaflets about God's love. They believe that now is an opportunity to demonstrate God's love, the message of hope. As many Wuhan inhabitants suffer from trauma and despair and frustration, they're using technology for online ministry to encourage each other. And in the early days of the outbreak, when the coronavirus paralyzed the government and exposed some incompetence, churches delivered masks and protective gear accurately and efficiently. You know, just one church in Wuhan has managed to deliver 400 N95 masks. Do you remember back 2 months ago when we didn't know what they were? 1,000 gloves and 1,000 protective goggles to the Wuhan Central Hospital, the workplace of the deceased whistleblower, Dr. Li Wenliang. An additional 30,000 face masks were handed out on the street by the Christians in the first week of the quarantine. Besides churches and street preachers, individual Christians in Wuhan have also assisted the sick. There's the story of a Christian engineer whose own family had been affected by the outbreak and used his social media account to post calls for assistance and to coordinate information to help them to find medication and a hospital bed. Christians in Wuhan are the living proof of the best qualities of humanity. They offer us a glimmer of hope in this world full of suffering and paranoia towards the epidemic. Their composure and efficiency, as well as their love and strength, that stems from their faith and inspires us. They are connecting with the love of God. They know that their help comes from the Creator of the mountains. They are living out this psalm. And we can't help but be inspired. We remember that this psalm was sung together with others. They testify and they witness to each other as they sing. There's a call into community, a call of community in this. You know, I believe the words of Psalm 121 speak powerfully into times of fear, as well as times of loss, grief, and the tough stuff in life. These words of going out and coming in assure us of God's unsleeping watch over our going out to school and our coming in to family and home, our going out to work or community events, and our coming into refreshment and rest, our going out to uni and marriage and parenthood and grandparenthood, serving God and others to retirement, and finally our last going out into the unknown realms of death and beyond. And even then, we will be coming in, returning home to the long-promised, well-earned rest, where we experience the joy of knowing we abide in the everlasting arms of God for eternity, which takes away our fear. There is a simplicity of language in this psalm, an unshaken trust in God. This song teaches us about who God is, about God's constant care and God's constant watch. We find hope and promise when we lift up our eyes to the mountains. We remember that God came to us as a tiny, vulnerable baby grew up to be a teacher like no other, a storyteller, an encourager, a challenger, and a healer, who walked through crowds on a mountain, who was transfigured up on a mountain, who died and rose again, ascended to heaven, and will return again. And so, we lift our eyes beyond the mountains, and we remember that our help comes from on high. How much we need God's help. We give our fears to God. We connect with the love of God. And in all this, we walk together because God is and always will be our keeper. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for this beautiful psalm. We thank you for the words that encourage us and lift us up. We thank you for your love, that you are always there for us, always watching over us. We thank you for Jesus, that he came to show your love. Lord Jesus, there are times in this life that are difficult, that hurt us. We thank you for your voice, for your encouragement, for your love and peace and mercy at those times. Forgive us for when we draw back, when we separate ourselves from you and others. Then we do say and think things that are not of you. And thank you. Thank you that through your death on the cross, we are forgiven. Holy Spirit, help us to lift our eyes beyond the mountains. Help us to give our fears over. Help us through this Lent period to connect with the love of God in everything that we do, and help us to walk together, to not walk alone, but to walk together. Pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.